Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Society Talks. I'm Joe Lorenzo, and I am here with Chris Brochu. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Joe. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just holding it down in the house, as you know.
Yeah, as that's it goes. I mean, we obviously know each other. We're friends. But what I want everybody else to know, what are you doing during this crazy, crazy time? Number one, guys, everybody should know we're not together. Normally, I do this in a studio in Hollywood, but we are doing this remotely. He's in LA. I'm on the East Coast. So we are doing this safer at home. Nobody freak out at me. But
we are very, very distant.
Yes, 3,000 miles distant. So what are you doing during this crazy time?
Honestly, just trying to kind of remain calm and still. And I've taken this time to really make sure my home is in order. I really enjoy planting as well. So every morning I go to my little mini garden that I have and I tend to the plants, and that really keeps me centered. And I'm trying to stay healthy and also be productive. I'm working, obviously, doing classes 3 days a week right now, and then starting other private lessons as well with songwriting, guitar, and acting, and trying to just produce some videos for my YouTube channel as well. So just kind of a bunch of the same things, but really trying to go into every day and trying to find the calm within the chaos, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna get to the YouTube channel. I want to get to, you got a new movie coming out called Recon. I want to get to all that, but I want to touch on that. It's yesterday I just started to feel the Groundhog Day thing, and like it, you know, it just being every single day the same thing and the same routine, because it's the same four walls and the house and whatever. Yep. So, like you saying, doing something sort of different and all of those things, like the plants and the, I mean, eating healthy, I assume, but all of those things, the music, do you normally do all that at home?
Yes, yeah. I do. I mean, I have a studio for music, but right now I've basically got all of my stuff in my house. So yeah, the gardening, all of that stuff is basically in my home anyway. So not a lot of the routine has changed. But I find myself having to be a bit more mindful, as like what you're saying, the groundhog, or like the same four walls and being a little stir crazy. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, I'm a little bit of a lone wolf anyway. So I can deal with the situation pretty well. But I look forward to obviously being able to hang out with the people that I love and to just commune with other humans.
Yeah. I agree. So, all right, let's start. Let's go just all the way back to the beginning. Where'd you grow up?
So I was born in Tennessee. I spent my childhood in North Carolina. So I moved from Tennessee somewhere between 3 and 5, moved to North Carolina. My childhood was North Carolina. My teenage years were Florida. And then 17 onward has been California. So for the past 13 years, I've been living in California.
Wow.
So military brat. So I moved around a little bit.
Okay. And so when you came out to California, you were with mom and brother, I assume, because your brother is also an actor and your mom's a manager.
Yeah. So we came out to California. We, long story short, had an opportunity. Let's go check out California for pilot season, which, as you know, is like the first 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. We saved up money and put it in a literal cookie jar. And once it accumulated enough to pay for the U-Haul and the rent for 3 months, we just packed up. It was me, my brother, my sister, my mom, and another mother, and I believe three other kids. So it was, at one point we had 11 people living in a house in Reseda that was like 900 square feet. So it was like an actor's summer camp. They used to call us the band of like traveling acting gypsies, because we would all pile in a minivan and 11 of us would go to every audition and just pile out, pile back in. And it's kind of how we got out to California. It was just that initial idea of, all right, if this is something we want to do, we got to save up the money to do it and let's try it out. And after that 3 months, we never ended up leaving.
Wow. And your brother is older or younger than you?
He's 15 months younger than me, so I'm the eldest.
Okay. And his name is Doug Brochu, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. So now, how is it? How is that growing up? Because I mean, not growing up, but sort of growing up or growing through this business with a brother that's so close in age, also successful as well. Yep. How is that? Is it competitive, or is it just because you're different types? It doesn't really matter.
I think first and foremost, we are different types, so it doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. even if we were the same type and going out for the same roles, I don't believe in that type of competition, because I truly believe that the role goes to the person that it belongs to go to. And I don't believe I have competition. Anytime I go into a room, all I know, my biggest competition is myself. If I'm prepared to the standard that I think is how I should be going about this business, that is my only competition. Otherwise, you start comparing yourself to other people, and that's not a healthy perspective to have. So I go into it always just having myself be the biggest competition. And that is just simply, how much work have you put in? Are you off book? Do you know what your character wants? And that is enough. Those standards are high enough for me that other people they're not my competition at that point. And it just, I don't want that type of energy. You know, yeah. Me personally, like, for instance, I've got a good friend, Devin Werkheiser, who is a great actor.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Ned Declassified, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And so he, my mom actually manages him at the moment. And honestly, like, if I'm going out for a role and I know he's right for it, I'm going to tell him, hey, or my mom's like, he's going out for this role too. Awesome. Like, the more the merrier. Because if I don't book it, he better book it. And if he doesn't book it, I better book it. You know, so yeah. I don't like that type of mentality, because I could definitely get caught in that, and I think it's poisonous.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's great. It's a great attitude. What was the very first thing that you booked that was like, wow, this is, I mean, was it a commercial? Was it a TV spot? What was that?
It was, oh my gosh, what was it? It wasn't Hannah Montana was one of the first ones that I booked that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got this.
Well, at the time, it was the hugest thing, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think it was Unfabulous, actually, might have been my first like TV credit. And it was one line, and I was super nervous, you know, standing, waiting on my mark to walk in, hit my mark, say my one line, leave. Very nerve-wracking. But yeah, I think it was Unfabulous. It was my first actual like TV credit. And I had done a low-budget film in Florida before then, but that was like the first thing I ever did. And when I moved to California, Unfabulous, I believe, was my first credit.
And now your mom doesn't manage you, right?
No, she doesn't manage me.
Oh, okay. So that's an interesting thing, because I know Brittany Snow and her mom's a manager as well. And I think Ben Badgley's mom is a manager. But none of them manage their own kids, such as you're saying. What is that decision? Like, where does that decision come from?
For me, I just personally like keeping business and business and family with family. In certain ways. I just, with my mom, I don't want to talk business with her. I just want to talk family with her. I want it to be casual. And I really love my manager. So there really hasn't been a time where I wish to be managed by my mom or wish to leave my manager. I feel very grateful that I have the manager that I have, Karen Semler. And I'm also grateful that I have my mom, because I get her insight as well. So it's kind of, it's like a win-win for me. I have a mom, but I also have a mom that knows what's happening within the industry.
Yeah. Now, what came first? Was it, because you had two pretty big projects, like, close to each other, yes? Soul Surfer and Lemonade Mouth. Which one came first?
Soul Surfer came first, and then Lemonade Mouth came, I believe, like the next year or something like that. But Soul Surfer was the first one where it just kind of blew my mind. It was this independent feature, like very family friendly movie. And I love Bethany Hamilton. And when I first read the script, I thought to myself, like, this is my movie. It needs to be mine. And I ended up booking it. And then after I booked it, they just started booking all these beautiful people. Like, okay, so Helen Hunt's going to play your mom. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid's going to be your dad. What? Anna Sophia Robb is going to be Bethany. Oh my God. Like, it started off as this like kind of independent feature and then really turned into this just really blessing of a project that I'm just so happy that I got to be a part of.
And that's correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Sean McNamara and David Brookwell, right?
Yes.
Okay, and those are the guys, everybody out there listening, that they were behind That So Raven and all those great Disney shows.
Yep.
And the Soul Surfer guys, I'm sure, hopefully you've seen it. It's about Bethany Hamilton, who lost her arm in the shark attack. She's a surfer. It's a great story.
It really is. She is a fantastic.
Did you get to meet her?
Absolutely. I got to meet her. I got to meet the whole family. The whole family was on set a majority of the time. I went surfing with her. She out paddles me with one arm. It's just, she's a beast of a woman in the most feminine way possible. She's just a badass.
Yeah. She's a force for sure. I mean, I've read up on her, and funny enough is I think that Joey, Paul, and them were casting that out of my office over in Manhattan Beach, because that's where David and Sean were for a very long time.
So I think I remember that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So crazy.
And then Lemonade Mouth comes, and that's – Lemonade Mouth is Disney, correct?
Yep.
And what was the difference between the two experiences, doing a film that's very family friendly, but then also going to a television show and a network that's very family friendly, but different premises? What's like, you went from one to the other, how did it feel?
I mean, it just felt amazing during that time to have that Soul Surfer happen. And then I believe it was like the next year that Lemonade Mouth occurred, and Lemonade Mouth was one of those projects that, again, like, pinch me. I can't believe that it actually occurred. The process, nothing really changed, because it's all just about like the character, and you know, what are the wants, what do you have to get over, what do you need. But the biggest thing was just the production, like going ahead of time and doing all of these rehearsals and blocking and choreographies and just a little bit more just intensive. And I don't know, I thrive in new environments. I love being a part of a team. So for me, it was just another fun adventure. And like, you know, whatever, let me know when the rehearsal is, I'm there. Let me know when the blocking is, I'm there. Tell me what time I'm supposed to be on set, I'm there 5 minutes early. That's just kind of my mentality. So I guess the only difference, like I was saying, is the scale, just stepping into the Disney machine for a little bit and being taken care of. Like I said, another blessing of a project for me.
Yeah. Now, I also saw that like on, because you did a song for a couple things, one of them being Hoovy, which again is David Brookwell and Sean McNamara. So doing a song, which will bring us to your YouTube channel, which I really want to talk about all your music, but where did that come from? Did you know that you already wanted to do both simultaneously? And then how did you get into doing songs and scores for movies?
So music was the kind of the first artistic expression I ever had. And it was very much therapy for me. I can make the most sense of my feelings by putting it down in a song, because it's 3 to 4 to 5 minutes. It's a complete thought. It's like a full movie. The whole plot and premise plays itself out within 3 minutes, 5 minutes. So I get to concentrate my feelings within that medium, which still is extremely valuable for me. So music came first, and then I fell into acting, and I really, really loved it and enjoyed it, and just started working on the craft and the process. And actually, I recorded the song that's in Hoovy. It's called Life is Good. I recorded that song originally for Soul Surfer. Mm. Sean actually saw me, Mr. McNamara, saw me on set playing guitar, and he wanted to put me in the movie playing the guitar, but that never ended up making the cut. And then I said, well, you know, I'll record the song and give it to you if you want it to be a part of the movie. I think Carrie Underwood ended up having a song that became the priority for that, but he ended up coming back with Hoovy and saying, hey, can I use Life is Good as the opening sequence? Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can. So those little connections is where I started getting into the sync side of things, which is putting music into TV and film. And so it's both of my passions kind of coming into one space.
Yeah. And now where can they find your YouTube channel? What's it called?
So if you just go on YouTube and look up Chris Brochu, mine will pop up. There's probably a couple up there, but you can tell which one is mine. It just has all the content videos that I have on it. It's got music videos. It's got live acoustic one takes, and also just some other little content dealing with health or gardening or just little things that I like to do.
Gotcha. When you're doing a YouTube channel, how often do you feel like you should put something out?
It's a great question. I'm trying to really figure out the flow for that. So I'm honestly at this point, I'm just trying to put out content as frequently as I can, but it's not as frequent as it should be. So I'm trying to get into my flow. Actually, after this, I'm going to record three different kind of health focused videos. So I'll edit those up and then drop them every once in a while. But I've got some music and I've got some like one takes that I'm also planning to record. So I'm basically just trying to like pile up on content so that I can, like you're saying, release them, I don't know, in a more scheduled way.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've talked to a lot of YouTube people and I think it's I don't know that it needs to be. I have to release three this week or whatever, but I just think that some consistency, like a couple a month or something like that. But also it just needs to be fun and organic too. Everybody that I've spoken to, I have a YouTube channel and I don't really do much on it. I was putting stuff up there, but it's been months. And I just feel like if I'm not inspired to do it, I'm not going to force it. I mean, do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. I'm not interested in putting out content just for content's sake. Yeah. Like I want to be able to build my followers. I want to be able to build the views. I want to be able to monetize off of what I'm putting out there. But I also don't want to cut on quality or just like do something that is a fad because I think it'll get clicks and views. And I get all of that business side of things and consistency and one video a week and making sure you have that schedule. And I get that. But at the same time, if it undercuts the quality, I'm not interested. And that's kind of my philosophy with any art that I'm trying to do. I'm more about the finished product than the time frame.
Yeah, it's good. Now, are you cranking stuff out like crazy because you're stuck at home or?
I am about to.
Okay.
I've been trying to like find my center, trying to get a little balance within this. And now that I've got a little bit of balance and a little bit of time and my schedule's kind of figured out, I've got a couple days a week that I can really buckle down, knock some videos out, and we'll see how frequently I can post them.
Yeah. So now you also have a movie. I don't know if it's coming out or you can talk about it a little bit. It's called Recon. What's it about? How much can you tell us? What do you play? I know sometimes when we do these and I ask people, I'm like, what can you tell me? And they're like, I just had Dani Nicolette. She's Cecile on The Flash. And she's like, I can't really say much, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so what can you tell us? Who do you play? And as much as you can.
So the movie's called Recon. It's based off of a book called Peace. And it's an ensemble piece. There are essentially four people, four main characters that it focuses on. It's myself. It's Alexander Ludwig from Vikings.
Mm.
It's Sam Keeley from 68 Whiskey, Ron Howard's new show. It's Franco Nero, who was the original Django, who's just like this beautiful Italian man. It was just like this powerhouse actor. So I somehow got within the midst of these individuals and really just had a blast. It's a period piece. It takes place in the woods of Italy in the 40s. And
where did you film it?
We filmed it in Canada in the snow in proper World War II costume, no gloves, cold rifles. Like it was a proper experience, and it really just makes you. I remember standing in the middle of a set of a base camp with the tents and the snow on the ground and just thinking, war is something else. The fact that people have to go through these circumstances based off of like ideology or whatever happens to force a war, like, it just was a pretty sobering fact for me. But anyway, it's about these three soldiers who take this Italian man on this recon, and they're trying to figure out what the Germans are up to and what the next move is. And this film takes place over a 24-hour period, and it is pretty relentless. There's not a lot of violence, but there is a lot of just anticipation and anxiety that goes along with it. So it is the best work that I have ever done. It is a movie that I am so grateful to have been a part of, and I really can't wait. It's going to have a limited release in theaters around the country, so people are actually going to be able to go to the movies and watch it, which I'm excited about. And that's basically it.
So with that, with you, you know, having a limited release and with everything that's going on now, what does that look like in terms of, is there going to be premieres? Is there going to be, are you going to have to do press? Because typically, guys, anytime you do a movie and, you know, you have to, there's also the months or however long you're doing the movie, but then also the months prior to it coming out to doing things right. Like this, or, but you being in person and doing junkets and red carpets and things like that. What does that look like amid the COVID-19 pandemic?
Whew, that's such a great question, because even after I said it's a limited release in theaters, I literally had that thought, like, I don't even know if that's true anymore, actually. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if, you know, production or the producers have, like, pivoted at all or gone with a different deal. That's actually a really great question. I know for a fact I don't know the answer. And I think daily we're figuring out a little bit more and getting a little bit more context. But really great question. But as soon as I get any information, I'll let you know, though.
I know the third phase. I know Governor Newsom just released his phase four plan. And I think the third phase is the movie theaters. And then the last phase is like large concerts with the live audiences and things.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I don't know. With that, those phases take weeks or months, but I know in just speaking, like even with Danielle Nicolet, you know, on The Flash, they don't know when they're going back to production in Canada.
Yep.
They have a few episodes banked that they are, I think they started last week airing them, but it's going to be a new normal, regardless of whether people can go and actually check it out. Are they going to be, you know, social distanced and all that kind of stuff? And I think a lot of the press that you're going to have to start doing is going to be like this, or it's going to be remote, or it's going to be side by side Zoom, you know, calls or whatever. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that part of your job? Because your job, actors' jobs are two part. You do the work, but then you have to promote the work.
Right.
So how do you feel about it becoming a non-in-person style of press?
I don't know how I fully feel about it right now. Like, I don't enjoy the idea of the social norm is like keeping your distance.
Yeah.
I don't want to interact with you. It feels very sterile and odd. However, we've got to roll with the punches. Like, you've got to just keep going. So if this is the new normal and we're going to have to do a lot more of these digital type interviews and press junkets and whatnot, then, you know, so be it. It's part of the job, as you say. So I'm not a huge fan of it, but I also am not
opposed to it.
Yeah. I don't claim to have a better solution.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just kind of, I'm listening. I'm trying to stay informed, but I'm also not trying to be too reactive because things change all the time. So I'm absorbing. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm absorbing.
Yeah. And take it as it comes. Like when we do realize what the new normal is, you know, you adjust to it.
Absolutely. You have to, you adjust or you adapt or you die. And that's, I mean, maybe not to that extreme, but
yeah,
that's the analogy. You either adapt or you don't. And you,
yeah,
hopefully that's the, hopefully we
you
all
move with the times or you don't move. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I agree. I wonder though, like, because award season comes up in the fall, and what's that going to look like? I mean, can you imagine the Oscars via Zoom?
Oh my gosh. It's going to be, it'll be interesting to watch.
I'll tune in for sure, but because I want to see what the heck they're doing, but
it's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of like half dressed people because they don't have to get fully dressed. You know what I mean?
Well, there was, I just saw a video. There was some, I don't know if it was like ET or something, but the news anchor was caught without pants on.
Dude, yeah, I saw that too. I don't know if, yeah. The guy with like the suit jacket and the shirt on.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Looked great from that waist up, and then he actually, they caught him without his pants.
Yep.
Well, so now would you want to do more things like that as far as act in movies plus place your music in movies, or do you try to keep them separate?
No, I'm trying to, because I'm trying to absolutely mix them together, because with movies, so with music, I own 100%. Those are my pieces of work. That is my art. Nobody else owns ownership. I own the masters. I own everything. So anytime my music gets to interact with another form of media, that is only beneficial for me. When it comes to acting, I am a collaborator in a bigger piece. I try to go in with just no ego and make sure that the movie is the best that it can be, and I can bring the best that I can bring to it. So I don't know. Both music is my passion. I'm never going to bring in anybody else unless I feel like they are going to help me push the narrative that I want. With some films, I've definitely passed on scripts, but for the most part, the material that I get, it is then my job to go in and help collaborate. So it's two different sides of my brain. With music, I don't have to sacrifice any type of creative control. And with acting, I get to go in and work within the creative zone that is that movie. So I love mixing them. And I also, you know, if they remain separate, so be it as well.
Yeah. Now, do you release anything like small things on social media? Your social media is what? @Christopher_?
Yeah, it's Christopher_M_Brochu.
Got it.
Make sure.
Because I will say I saw the vegetable, like you had this story the other day that was really fun. Guys, go follow him. He posts some cool stuff. There was one I wanted to ask about, and then the second one. The first one I saw was great. It was like all these vegetables, and it looked like, I mean, literally looked like an ad. Was it?
Yeah. It wasn't an ad. No, it was just, County Line Harvest. And I'm just trying to shout out local farmers, especially during this time, like when even food supplies are because we're in such a global market now, like certain things are starting to become a bit scarce. So I'm really trying to focus my energy and money to individuals that need it, and organic farmers that are local. Like, that's who I want to support. I'll go I'll go to Whole Foods, which is owned by Amazon, to get the things that I need to get. But my priority is I want to go to my local marts. I want to keep the money in the community. I want to go to my organic farmers. I want to get that fresh produce. And then from that point, we can go and support the people that are making a majority of the money. But no, it wasn't an ad. And I'm just really trying to push local either growers or business owners so we can just keep the money in the community and really vote with our dollars.
Yeah. What? And then the second thing that was you in the woods putting this thing in the ground and – I think the question was it a mic? I forget. Tell me what that was. And I was like looking at it. I don't know what that is. And then I think it was the thing that I didn't think it was, a mic stand or something. What was that?
Yeah. So every once in a while, I like to go into the, I'd like to drive up the 2 in California, which takes you into Los Angeles National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I mean, just all the time, I'm always looking for an excuse to go up there. So what I've been doing are these one takes, which are, they're called Chris Broshy Presents. And then it'll be one of my songs, just acoustic with, you know, the background being like the gorgeous mountains or something. And so
yeah.
A lot of the times, not a lot of the times, but like half of the times have been kind of in silhouette. I try not to make it really about me and make it about the music and the environment. But yeah, that was a little mission to see if that location would work. Go ahead.
And did it?
It did. I have to go through the audio. That computer is actually dead right now, and my wife is on a little trip, and she took my charger, so she sent it back to me. So I should be getting it today, so I'll get to see if it actually works or not. But gotcha. It was still nonetheless a good day for me to go out, be in the woods, be by a little creek, play some music by myself, get some fresh air, and it's one of the things I try and do that keeps me centered.
And do you play, what are the instruments that you play? Guitar and keyboard?
I can play piano, keyboard, but my main instrument is guitar. Yeah, I can dabble around on the keyboard, but I wouldn't consider myself a pianist.
Yeah. Dude, why does that freaking word crack me up?
It's so funny.
I'm such a child when I hear that word.
Or a thespian. How about thespian?
That one too. And what's his face? Adrian Brody won the Academy Award for The Pianist, and I swear I could not stop laughing that entire award season. Were you self-taught the guitar, or did you take lessons?
A little bit of both. So when I first picked up a guitar, this guy that at my church at the time, he taught me, I think, about 3 different chord progressions and then strum patterns. And then I would practice, and he was nice enough to give me lessons for, I don't know, maybe a couple months or something. And then when I was about 17 or 18, I guess, I took, I think, 3 or 4 lessons trying to get a bit of theory. But other than that, it was all by hear. Like learned it by ear. That's what I'm talking about. So I would hear something and just like try and find it on the guitar and then figure out, oh, okay, that's that note. And a majority of the times, like when I write a song, I really don't know what key it's in. It's just kind of where the music's going. And then afterwards I'll be like, what key is this in? Oh, it's in A minor or whatever it is. Half taught and then half by ear.
Well, I hear that all the time, though. Like people, well, especially during this whole quarantine, people are like, "Pick up a guitar." First of all, I don't have a guitar. Second of all, I hear that it's easy to be self-taught. And that's not that I'm opposed to it. I would, but I don't have one right now, and I can't go out and buy one. I guess going hand in hand, if you write music and you sing and you create music in that way, I guess that it does sort of feed the other, correct?
Absolutely. Like learning guitar and writing songs?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of where my learning all came in, was hearing a song that I liked and then writing a song that kind of felt similar to that to me. And that really taught me different styles of music without knowing that I was learning different styles of music.
Yeah. Who are some of your favorites right now, like musicians?
I love, let's see. So my all-time favorite is Sam Cooke. I love some of the just soul. Yep. Leon Bridges. I love Leon Bridges right now. Shaky Graves. I dig him.
Okay.
And then.
So is it like it's like a soulful kind of jazzy pop thing?
Yeah, it's like I definitely think it's, oh man, I came up with the name for it the other day, now I forget what it was, but like somebody always, they always ask me like, what's the genre of your music? And I guess it's like rock, pop, soul, blues, but it's like a mix of all of those things with a singer-songwriter heart. And then Alabama Shakes. Just had to throw that out there as well.
Oh, they're good, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Do you now, like when you were growing up, is there somebody that was always playing in the house? Because I remember when I was growing up, Stevie Wonder and Patti LaBelle and Barbara Streisand. And I just remember, you're younger than me, but my grandparents had that huge wooden, there was TV on the bottom of it, but then you could lift the top of it and there was two record players.
Yep.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I never saw the TV combo, but definitely like the big record cabinets. Like,
yes.
Yes.
And you lift it up, but there was a TV on the bottom too. It was very, and it kind of like went the size of a wall, but in there she just, my grandmother had all these records. And I just remember listening to, Stevie Wonder, Barbara Streisand, and who else? Patti LaBelle. My mom loved Patti LaBelle, and then they did like funny things like Red Fox and Mom's Mabley records and things like that.
Sure,
but was there something always kind of playing in your house that triggered for you? Like, oh, this I love, or this is what made me want to get into music, or
I guess like I grew up on country music, so a lot of country music in my childhood. Also, a lot of like gospel. My parents were religious, or I guess are still religious, but I was religious growing up. And so there was a lot of like Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir or like different things of that nature. Whitney Houston, like I love Houston. Oh my God.
I tell you, I still put on, yesterday I was in a bit of a funk from the Groundhog Day feeling or whatever. And I put on Whitney Houston in my earbuds. I went for a long walk and honestly felt better.
I just miss that woman's voice.
Like, yeah, me too. Her
spirit was, oh my gosh. And, or, well, I guess I didn't listen to her in my childhood, but like Amy Winehouse as well.
Oh yeah.
I love Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. All the dead ones, Chris, what's happening?
I don't know, man. The good ones burn out quick.
I know.
It's like this.
Well, Amy's part of the 27 club, but Whitney's not.
Whitney's not. No. Thank God.
Who else is in that? Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good ones. I used to love Janis Joplin too. My mom, Summertime and all those songs. And that's like that soulful thing. I don't know. Maybe my mom had a little bit of the soulful thing in her. Because she loved that stuff too. And I remember just, I'm not musically inclined and I never really wanted to go into to have a music career or anything, but I appreciate it. Yeah. I like it. It was something that was always sort of playing in the house in my childhood. Mm-hmm. So, but I know that if I was to ever I think those would be my influences. And that makes sense. Cause you grew up in, you said Tennessee and Florida and all those places.
Yep.
So country makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Country was like the first, genre of music that I knew basically.
Would you do a country song?
I don't know if I'd do a country. Well, it depends on like, what would you do? Like, would I create one for myself?
Yeah.
Not really. Like I sometimes dip my toe into like folk type vibes. Like my latest single's pretty folky in a way.
What's it called?
It's called 1-2.
Okay.
So
is it on your YouTube?
It is. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's anywhere you can buy songs online. Amazon, Google, all that jazz.
So they just Google Chris Brochu or they go on YouTube, they just type in Chris Brochu, Brochu, guys.
Yep.
They can find it all, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, there might be a couple channels out there. Like I don't have a lot of followers right now, so it might be a little confusing. But my channel is My Face. And if you go on, there's like 20 some odd videos of all of me and music videos and different one takes that I've thrown up there throughout the years. So you should be able to find it pretty easily. And also, if you just check me out on Instagram, all of my links basically go there as well, I think, right now.
Give us the Instagram again.
Christopher_, which is the little line, M_Brochu, Brochu.
Got it. And then we're still kind of seeing when Recon's going to be coming out, but I'm sure you'll post it on your social media or something,
of
right?
Of course. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you talking with me, Chris. I mean, we're buddies, so I just, you know, but I wanted you to kind of share your story and your experience and people to, go to your YouTube channel and listen to your music, because I do think you're talented. And I think also, I think, you know, you started young, you started, you know, in your teens, and that can help people who are listening to this as well. Like, what do I do? Am I doing this right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if anybody is asking themselves those questions, if you really want to do something, it's never too late. Again, don't compare yourself to others, because everybody has a separate journey. You are in charge of your journey. So just, well,
there's a really great saying. I forget who said it, but it's, oh gosh. And I posted it on social media like a few months ago, but for parents that are, got their kid getting into this, don't compare your child to another. Remember, it's like popcorn kernels pop at different rates or different speeds or something like that. So I thought that was pretty poignant, because it does happen a lot of times. That's why I asked you to think about the brother, because, and you guys kind of, your trajectory, it was kind of like the same time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. We definitely he popped off in Disney before me, and then I got the Disney film after that. And then he took some time off, but now he's getting back into it. So it's, I'm excited.
But it's a little easier, like, when it is happening like that, but sometimes it doesn't, you know. And I meet kids and parents all the time, and they're like, well, you know, she's been auditioning the same amount that she's been auditioning, but she's working. And I'm like, well, it's timing, it's universe, it's everything aligning. It's not, you know, there is no sort of science to it. Because if there was, everybody would do it and everybody would be famous. But it's a timing thing. So,
And a lot of it is producers tend to, they don't know what they want.
Yeah. I
mean, they have an idea. They've got a character breakdown, but they don't know what they want until you show up and show them what you're going to bring to the role. Yeah. Oh, okay. This is what we want. Like,
I have a funny story about that, and then we can wrap it up. But I was casting a movie, Minnie Driver, Jeremy Renner, and the third lead, the writer director wrote this for, could have been somebody like you actually, but it was like this young, naive priest, corn-fed Midwest kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
Like that. And so I read a lot of actors, I mean, and ones that are names now and things. But I had this agent who was constantly bugging me. She's like, please just see Adam. Please just see Adam. Please just see Adam. And I was like, he's not right. He's not what the director's looking for. Charles doesn't want to see anybody that doesn't look like this or have this vibe. And I said, but then finally, you know, she was persistent. And as agents who believe in their clients should be, or managers, but I said, fine. Because I liked her and I respected her. So I brought him into the director, and the director was like, holy cow. I never thought I could go this way, but I'm going to completely change the role to go this way. And that actor was Adam Rodriguez from CSI Miami.
Now,
you look at him and you look at the way that it originally started, and I had already read the 150 actors, 200 actors probably at that point, with, you know, the young white guy from Minnesota or whatever. And they're just totally different. But when it's that, what they call the it factor. Disney says it all the time, the it factor. They don't know what it is until it comes in the room.
Yep. It's exactly correct. And the only way you can be that it is if you're grounded within yourself.
Yep. I agree.
It's that like humility yet confident. Like, if you put in the work, you're going to feel good, and that is going to show in the room as well. Same thing, like similarly, I have a quick story just about Recon. Like, they looked for my role. They did a crazy search, like worldwide, because they weren't entirely sure where they were going to shoot it. So they had looked everywhere for it. And because I had done a movie with the producer before, he hit me up and was like, hey, I don't know why I just thought about this, but can you put this on tape? We can't find this guy anywhere. We're starting like filming in a week or two. I was like, okay. So that night, read the script, memorized the monologue, put it on tape. And then the next day, got a call. The director wants to meet with you in LA. Okay, cool. Sounds good. I'll meet him there. And it's like you're saying, just, it's these little it factors, and keeping those relationships and just showing up whenever somebody asks you to put up some work.
Yep. And timing, it all aligns, you know?
Absolutely. And if you can take the time and have the patience to look back in your career, or just with any type of work that you're putting in, I am so grateful that I didn't get certain things, because that opened the doors for the things that I did get. and the people that I did meet and the projects that I was a part of. So after I can look back and my hindsight is always wiser than I am in the moment, I don't stress about those things anymore, because all it boils back down to is the work. And if you're putting in work, you will eventually, it will eventually pay off. It will eventually pay off.
Amen to that. We'll wrap it up right there. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for talking to me. Please stay safe. Recon, guys, he'll put it on his social media when it's ready to come out. Go check out his YouTube channel. Just type in Chris Brochu, B-R-O-C-H-U. Google him, follow him on social media. And again, thank you so much, Chris. Stay safe and healthy.
Joe, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, we should definitely talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. And you can follow me at Joe_Lorenzo on Twitter and Instagram.